easiest one for me to work on and to prepare. This is the one about Jesus sending his disciples away and going up to the mountain to pray. And I really began to work on that message. And, you know, I had this message prepared, and it was all about keeping balance in your life, of balance between when you go and when you stop and when you do and when you don't. And really, I'll be honest with you, it's a really good message. But after I'd done a lot of work on it and begun to pray on it, I began to realize there was a problem, and this was the problem. While it was a really good message, it really didn't have anything to do with the scripture we were reading this morning. And kind of when you drift away from scripture, you've drifted away. You know what I mean? So I had to back up and start over and find out this is what God wants to say to us out of the experience that Jesus had with his apostles as a part of that day in the life that we've been looking at in Mark chapter 6. Remember, so many things have been going on. Jesus had sent the apostles off two by two, and for the first time they had ministered in his name, but he wasn't with them, and God did some amazing things. And then they came back and he took them, and they began to share with him the things that God had done through their lives. And then the people began to come and they crowded around. And then remember, last week we looked at how those hungry people had to be fed, and Jesus used his apostles to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children, using just a few fish and a couple of loaves of bread. That's pretty amazing, wasn't it? And then at the end of it all, at the end of all of those things that have happened, then we discover that Jesus did something very special. It says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. He departed to the mountain to pray. Today's passage shows us a model for spiritual enrichment, for spiritual growth in our lives, because we see in the life of Jesus how he maintained the vitality that he needed to serve his Father the way he needed to serve him. And we discover in these couple of verses some really powerful things that not only are things that happened to Jesus, but things that need to happen in your life and in mine if we're going to keep our lives in spiritual balance. And that's what it's really all about, isn't it? It's about maintaining a walk with Christ that is healthy and growing and thriving and effective. And that's what all of us are praying for in our lives. I want my life to matter where the Lord is concerned. I want my walk with Christ to be rich and real. I want my service to Christ to be effective in all the ways I can serve him. And if we're going to do that, then we find some principles in these two verses that are really important for us to grab hold of and use. So let's jump in and let's discover what the Bible has to say to us. And the first thing that we see in there is you will never find balance in your life until lordship is settled. Before anything else can go on in your own life, you've got to settle the whole issue of lordship, where Jesus is concerned, in your personal walk with him. This is what the Bible says. It says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat. Now, why is that important? Because it means from the beginning of this next occurrence we're looking at, we knew who was in charge. The Bible says he made his disciples get into the boat. He sent them away. He had a plan for their lives, and they had to follow it. There was no doubt that Jesus was the one who set the agenda. In fact, there's a very important term found in Mark 6:45. It's a phrase that Jesus uses constantly throughout the Gospel of Mark. In fact, it may be Mark's favorite word. It is the phrase immediately. Immediately. Time after time in the book of Mark, you'll discover that as Mark is describing what Jesus is doing and who Jesus is touching and where Jesus is going, he uses that term immediately. Immediately this happened. Immediately they found themselves in this place. Almost every time that term immediately comes up, it always points to the same thing, the decisive authority of Christ. Almost every time you find that word immediately in the Gospel of Mark, you'll also find this. And immediately, Jesus did something that let people know he was in charge. Jesus took action, gave a command, issued a word, and immediately people knew this came from the Lord. When he said to act, people would act. When he said to stop, people would stop. When he said to come, people would come. When he said to go, people would go. And what was true then is still true today. Life only works when Christ is in control. We may think we can handle things without him. We may think that we can keep him on the periphery and still have life work out the way it's supposed to. But the Bible tells us life only works when Christ is in control. The most important thing any of us can do in our lives is to settle the lordship issue where Jesus is concerned. Yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, Lord, I will trust you. Yes, Lord, I will obey you. And yet so many times we resist the authority of Christ in our lives. That's true of lost people who refuse to believe. Folks who are separated from God and do not know him will say, I do not want you to be Lord of my life. Or I'm going to wait to make you Lord of my life. But you know what's also true of those of us who are followers of Christ? It amazes me how many times I refuse to let Christ have his way, even though I know making my own choices will result in chaos. How many times have I known what God wanted me to know and understood what he wanted me to do, and yet I resisted him and decided I'm going to do this my own way. And every time it turns out the same way. My life is in a mess. Spiritual balance begins with a very basic, very deliberate decision. I will let Jesus be Lord of my life. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you said that? And yet how important is it? I will let Jesus be Lord of my life. He will lead and I will follow. He will command and I will obey. And until the issue of lordship is settled, there's no possibility of spiritual balance. When you try to live for him and not through him, you will find that there is constantly stress and doubt and fear and discouragement. Why is that? Because the wrong person is in control. Because the wrong person is calling the shots. Lordship may call for different reactions from different people. For some people, it's a struggle. Every time I have to surrender to the lordship of Christ, it's hard for me to do. For some people, it's a relief. I've been trying to do this all by myself for so long. I am so glad to trust somebody who can handle things. But for many of us, it's a matter of just doing what you've known you needed to do for a long time. You haven't had to figure it out. You've just had to surrender to it. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So I guess my question to you this morning is this. Do you need to take some time today and make sure he is in charge where your life is concerned? Whether it's for the first time or because you know he's not where he belongs. Do you need to settle that lordship issue once again? Because serious lordship leads to serious discipleship. Follow him. And then the second thing I see in this passage this morning is this. And you'll never find balance until you are committed to obedience. The Bible says Jesus sent the disciples across the sea to Bethsaida. To Bethsaida, what made that place so important? Why was it that Jesus chose that specific place for them to go? Well, here's the interesting thing about it. Mark doesn't tell us. Mark never describes why it was that that was where Jesus told his disciples to go. He never said, you go ahead, you go to Bethsaida, in a little while, I'll explain to you why that's important. He just says, you go to Bethsaida, and I'll join you in a little while. Well, that's important, isn't it? Because they needed to decide, we're going to do what Jesus told us to do. We're going to obey him. Can you imagine there must have been some real temptation to say, Lord, we just want to stay here with you. After all, look at what had just happened. They had just been part of this incredible miracle. 5,000 men plus women and children fed thousands and thousands of people. They started out with just a little bit in the bottom of a basket and came back with baskets full to overflowing. They had been part of something incredible. Don't you think they would have loved to stay there and just bask in the afterglow of what just happened? Lord, this is the most amazing thing. We just want to stay and talk to people about it. We want to learn their stories. We want to be to just remember what it was like. But instead, Jesus said, no, it's time for you to go. And they had to decide, am I going to go and follow him? You see, a balanced Christian life can never be satisfied with yesterday. It can't be about what happened the last time. That's a great temptation in every believer's life. When we have been through an experience where the presence of the Lord is so rich and so real, where you have experienced him in such a way that you just want to stay right there. Lord, I don't want to go home. I don't want to leave this place. I want to stay right here where you have done an amazing thing in my life. But God says to us, you can't be satisfied with yesterday. There's more to obeying me than this. Or sometimes, I think we want to take control of tomorrow. If I can't stay, then let me run ahead. Can you imagine what these disciples must have been thinking, y'all? Because of this miracle, because of thousands of people out in the middle of nowhere that are all being drawn to Jesus, and all of a sudden, you can see something incredible is going on here. Do you imagine there might have been something inside the hearts of those disciples that said, Jesus, we don't need to go to Bethsaida. Bethsaida is just another fishing village. We've already been on that side. You know, we really need to get somewhere like Jerusalem. We need to go where the temple is. We need to go where there are more people because, Lord, right now the momentum is all with us. Right now we're seeing people respond. Lord, we need to go on to that place where everybody's going to notice and everybody's going to know. Why don't we move on to Jerusalem and leave Bethsaida behind? After all, you haven't even explained to us why we're going there. But there was something else that the Lord wanted them to do, just as there is for you and for me. And we have to decide, I'm going to obey. I'm going to go where he tells me to go. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And if I feel like I have a better idea, well, let's just continue to do things his way. His way. Let him lead. You see, a balanced life is an active life. It is active in obedience. God always has something he wants to do through you. You know, there's some things that he wants all of us to do because we're disciples of Jesus Christ. And there are some things he wants some of us to do because that's part of his plan. But there are also some things that he only wants you to do. Now, here's something that I believe that we find in his word. It's simply this. The Lord doesn't call anybody to do everything, but he calls on everybody to do something. How can I obey the Lord? Well, I recognize I can't do everything. But I can do what God has gifted me to do. I told Evie just a little while ago, we were talking about majesty and glory of his name. That is one of my all-time favorite songs. I love that song. And I told Evie, don't be surprised if you look down and I'm singing along with you, which I was, but nowhere close to a microphone. There are some things God calls me to do. Getting close to a microphone during music is not one of them. But I am so grateful for those of you who are in the choir this morning who were singing that song to bless the rest of us. Because that is exactly where God wanted you to be, and that's exactly what God wanted you to do. And what an incredible blessing it is to just be here and be blessed by them. Maybe you're like me, you're not a singer, but you're a teacher, but you're a leader, but you're a servant. The truth is, you know there are things God wants you to do, personal plans he has for your life, and from time to time he's going to show this to you so specifically you're going to know this is God's calling on my life. And when that happens, you'll know how the disciples felt when the Lord used them to feed all those people. I am doing what the Lord called me to do. I am doing what the Lord called me to do. You'll never know that kind of satisfaction until you make an unconditional decision. I will obey. If you'll stop saying, I'll do anything you want me to, unless, or until, or as long as, or any other condition that we try to place on our obedience, then God will begin to work through you. If you're going to obey him, you can't say, Lord, I'll obey you, but here are the conditions. Here are the limitations. Here are the boxes I place around your will for my life. You just have to say, here I am. Use me. I will obey you. What does obedience look like? Well, the answer is really simple. You just pray this brief prayer. Lord, if you will show me what to do, I'll do it. If you will show me what to do, I will do it. And I'm not going to fill in the blanks for you, Father. And I'm not going to make the plans ahead. I'm just going to say, when you're ready to show me, show me. And I'll do it. He may tell you to do something really big. But he may also tell you to begin with something very simple, like get in the boat. Whatever it is he tells you, do it. He wants to know if you're serious about what you're saying. And the way he'll know if you're serious is for you to say, look, if it's something the whole world sees or something nobody knows about, I will count them equally in your sight. If you will tell me what to do, I'll do it. Then this passage reminds us that you'll never find balance until you follow the example of Christ. You see, this passage reminds us there's much more to the spiritual life than just staying busy for the sake of Christ. We can keep ourselves active and busy all the time if we want to. But in these verses, Jesus shows us you've also got to take time to step aside, to rest, and to renew. You have to know the source of your strength comes from beyond yourself. You cannot thrive spiritually through your own resources. It's a powerful thing to recognize that the Bible says Jesus sent the disciples away, and then he sent the crowds away, and after everybody was gone, he went up the hill, and all he wanted to do was spend some time with his Father. I also think it's very telling that while Mark tells us that happened, he does not describe what took place. You know, John will tell us the story of the transfiguration of Jesus and three disciples, and about how he met with Moses and Elijah in that place. We know a lot about what happened then. Mark doesn't describe a thing except that he went to be with his Father. And he stayed there as long as he needed to in order to be renewed and invigorated for what was coming next. Balanced spiritual life comes from recognizing that you need to draw strength from the Father. If you're going to be the kind of Christian that God called you to be, then you're going to have to depend upon the Lord. You can't generate it within yourself. You know, even Jesus needed time for renewal. Even Jesus needed those seasons to step aside and just be with his Father. We know that's true. Mark chapter 5, the chapter before this one, describes Jesus and the woman who had the issue of blood. And you remember what it says? It says, and Jesus, knowing that power had gone out of him. Jesus had spent an afternoon teaching the crowds. He had expended spiritual power in feeding the 5,000. Jesus, knowing he needed that season of personal renewal with his Father, stepped aside to be with him. If that happened to him, imagine how it can happen to you. None of us are designed for nonstop living. It is a recipe for spiritual disaster. You can't just go and go and go and go and never make time to be with the Father. And yet it is so funny to me. I talk to so many people and have over the years when people would say, I would love to spend time feeding in God's Word. I would love to spend time talking with God in prayer. I'd love to spend time in fellowship with the Father. But the truth is, my life is just too busy. I have so many places I have to go and so many people that are depending on me and so many demands upon my time. I just don't have time. I've got to keep going. And yet Mark reminds us that won't work. If you want to find yourself completely used up spiritually, just keep going. After all, if you're driving your car, it doesn't matter how important your destination may be or how packed your schedule may be. Once your gas tank reaches E, you're not going to get there. Not till you stop and refill. As painful as that may be these days. You've got to take time to renew. And if Jesus needed to make time for prayer, if Jesus had to make time for the Father, then you have to follow his example. All of us need time to allow ourselves to slow down body and soul and renew our depleted spirits so that God can continue to use. A spiritual balance makes time for renewal. And Jesus shows us what to do in his example. This is what he says. He says, stop. Stop. That was his example. So many people, so many needs, so many opportunities. But he made time to stop. Can I give you a great spiritual principle? One that you can take with you and carry for the rest of your life, and it will always do you good. Okay? Are you ready? There is never a good time. There is never a good time. You can say to yourself, when a good time comes along, I'm going to spend time with the Father. When a good time comes my way, I'm going to take time to really get serious about reading the Bible and trying to hear what God is saying to my life. When a good time comes along, then I'm going to see about my spiritual life, my prayer life. I'm going to make time for God. But right now, it's just not a good time. Things are going on in my life, things are going on in my work, things are going on in my family, things are going on all around me. Everybody seems to need a piece of me wherever I go, but someday there'll be a good time. Listen, there's never a good time. You have to make the decision now I'm going to stop and listen to the Father. If that means staying up extra late, I'll stay up extra late. If that means getting up extra early, I'll get up extra early. You find that time that works for you. You know, there was a season in my life when staying up extra late was very appealing to me. I could stay up and spend that time with the Lord after everybody else had gone to bed. Those days are long past. But now I find I can get up extra early. I can spend time with my Father before anybody else is stirring. There's never a good time. All there is a good decision, and that good decision is, I will stop what I am doing so that I can focus on my relationship with Christ. Second thing he says, step back. Step back physically and spiritually. Step back away from what you're doing, away from the things that are going on, in order to be with the Lord. Jesus went up on a mountain. It may be that all you'll have to do to develop and grow and balance your spiritual life is to step back from the television. Step back from distractions. Step back from whatever it is that you know, if I ever allow myself to be caught up in this, I'm not going to make the time I need to make. Stop, step back, and then the third thing is simply this, and seek the Lord. And don't go anywhere until you hear from Him. Don't say to the Lord, I really want to spend quality time with you. You've got 15 minutes. Rather, you say, Lord, I'm going to listen until I hear what you're saying. I'm going to pray until you give me guidance. I'm going to wait because this is really about you. This is not about me. And I know this. And if you do that, you'll hear His voice clearly. But it may take a while. So Mark tells us that we can find the balance we need in our lives when all of these conditions are met, when you settle that issue of lordship, when you've made a commitment to obedience, when you follow His example of drawing strength from the only one that can give you strength. And I promise you this, your Christian life will be healthier than it's ever been before. And your life will find balance. And here's the most amazing thing. And when you make this a priority decision in your life, then you may have said to yourself, I wish I could do this, but I just don't have time. You'll find out there was plenty of time. It was all about priority. So I guess the question is, where is Christ in the living of your days? Maybe you're here and you're lost. You don't know Christ as Savior. Before you can follow Him, you've got to know Him. And in a moment when we sing our invitation hymn, I'm going to be here at the front. Dr. Hutchins will be here. If you need to know Him, we would love to introduce you to Christ. Maybe part of what you need to do is plant yourself in a church. Maybe God's telling you to plant yourself in this church, so that you have a group of folks that you're going to be accountable to and that are going to love you, and a place where you can worship God and hear His Spirit speak to Him. And maybe you need to come today and say, you know what? I just want to be a member of what God is doing in this place. Maybe there's another decision you need to make in your own spiritual life because you're having to confess to yourself, you know, things are out of balance. They're not where they ought to be in my life. They're sure not where they ought to be in my relationship with the Lord. Today it's time for me to make a fresh commitment I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to listen to you. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. And as we sing, and as God's Spirit speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. God's house today. Glad we got to share this time together. Look forward to seeing you this evening. Remember, a couple of things we need to do. One's about doing some work that needs to be done over in Hugh Circle. So we're going to do a special church in conference just to handle that real quickly. And then we're going to cover the subject in Romans that everybody wants to cover on Spring Break Sunday. We're going to talk about the wrath of God. Boy, I'm excited. What a great subject. You may find out that the Bible has more to say about that subject than you could imagine. And it may be some of the most encouraging things and some of the most enlightening things. I look forward to sharing that time with you. So you be there this evening, and then remember this coming Wednesday, we're not going to have services, but you can come at 4 o'clock and join the pickleball clinic. We've had that set up in our basketball court, and you say, well, I'm too young, I'm too old, you're not too anything to play this game. So Nathan's lining that up, and we're going to have a great time. Well, let's bow together for our final prayer and then our last song. Father, we do thank you that you give us those seasons of renewal in our spiritual lives, that you help us, Lord, to keep our lives in balance. Father, we thank you that you set the example for us. And now, Father, help us to obey you, to simply be able to say, you are Lord. Yes, Lord. I will trust you, Lord. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.